Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. I'm here for our virtual podcast. Like, unfortunately, we cannot do this in person, but at least we can do it virtual, and that's great.
Yes. I mean, I'm a little thrown. I can't see what I look like right now. I don't know how do I do this, but we're going to try to make it through. I'm just happy that, like, you're first on my list. You know, we didn't get our regular one-on-one, but we're here now. We're making it work.
We're here now, and we're making it work. And luckily, neither of us have COVID. Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Did this feel like
a waste of our time? Yes, yes, it did.
True. I was going to say, did it take you back to 2020? Did it trigger some painful memories? Did it make you think of, this is what I thought Claire's season would be more like? Like, it took us to another time, I felt like.
Yeah, you know what? Because it felt more COVID-y than all of our COVID seasons. Like, right. Before, you know what I mean? Because they were so strict with, like, the regulations and everything. And I feel like they've gone a little loosey goosey with it, which, like, you know, they be free to do that. But it was just annoying to me that I felt like this could have been an hour.
Yes, I people were tweeting, maybe, this show could have been an email.
Yeah, or like I would have maybe been fine with a 3-hour episode if this was just like a single hour of it connected to like a more reasonable,
like a following travel destination or something.
Yeah,
definitely they could have shortened this down. It was very odd when we were speculating last week if, okay, is this a COVID thing, but then how do we still have a regular 2-hour episode if we only saw one one-on-one being shown? I guess we learned that they can still send the women out on the group date, which also didn't feel like following COVID protocol exactly.
Well, okay. I have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So the first one is, how did everyone not immediately scoot away from Gabby when they got this announcement?
Right. At first I thought they were trying to like make Gabby disappear in this episode after her date. Cause I couldn't see her like at the rose ceremony at first. I'm like, oh, is she quarantining and they didn't tell us? But no, she was around. She was there when they got the announcement.
I did see. Okay, so actually in our questions, I actually remembered to do the Facebook thread this week. And in the Facebook thread, I put a link of how the Bachelor's producers explain how they pulled off that virtual ceremony. I put it in the thread so I wouldn't forget. And I did send it. But I guess that one of the things I read was that Gabby had a roommate, and they took the roommate out and Gabby had her own room, and then they like kept testing and everything. And she never tested positive, but still I'd be like, get that lady away from me.
Right. Right. Yeah. The timing of it, it's not like they had a date and then he was isolated for a week. It was like the next day. So.
Yeah. I would be a little concerned. It was absurd of us to have to watch their going around town date without Zach. I'm thrilled they got to do that. I'm happy that they got to explore London. I'm devastated for Charity that she just had to sit in the hotel room the entire time. Like, poor girl. Everyone else could go out on the town except her on the state.
Totally.
And then the audacity to make these poor women dress up and like go to another location and wait for Zach when they knew he wasn't coming, and also showing us that content, again, an absolute waste of my time.
Yeah, just thinking about it now, I'm wondering, was that all for like not just the drama of it, like to make the women upset and increase their reactions, their negative reactions to it, but kind of maybe for promos down the line where they can see like if they're all in their sweats, it probably would give something more away where it's like, oh, Zach, you know,
that's fine if they filmed that and used it for promos. What is the reason they aired it? What do I care?
True. Yeah, we don't have to see. There's plenty of times there's something in promo that never sees the light of day in the actual show.
So it's like, what was the point of me having to watch that? Like, this was the biggest filler episode of all time, the fillerest filler episode
to the point where there were flashbacks in it, which we never see.
No, It was just like, what do we, they could have had like a 20 minute special of like The Bachelor in London or like had a to be continued last or like, you know, zoot zooted through the episode a little bit quicker this last week and had Gabby's date tacked on at the end and then right. started with like the London drama and then go right into the next week. Like there was ways to not do what they did.
Yes. Yeah. I've heard, other people saying too, like, should they have gone more like Love is Blind, like taking it to a little like more elevated level if you're going to do the virtual type thing? Not that I don't think they could really copy that exactly, but could they figure something out with?
I mean, I think they did pretty good with the time constraints they were given. And in this article, it kind of talks about like, well, this is a fully booked hotel. Like they can't just take up as like more rooms than they have. So they kind of had to do what they had to do. And they were supposed to do the rose ceremony and cocktail party in like a castle.
Oh,
but the castle didn't have Wi-Fi. So they couldn't have had Zach like zoom in. So they had to just do it in the room. I don't know. I thought like what they did was like fine enough. I really appreciate that every woman got a chance to have a conversation with Zach, which is like not always the case at a cocktail party. So I actually did like that for a change.
That's true. For some of them, they actually got that more time than they maybe would have otherwise.
Yeah. But I did think it was really stupid that we still had a rose ceremony. I do not think there should have been. I don't think that was like fair. And I get it. Like all's fair in Love, War, and The Bachelor. But like it just was not fair to me that like two girls
have
got
so many
cut.
Plane tickets to go on.
I guess you can't get two on Ryanair, like
right.
Or 15
and doesn't that totally
each?
Prove that he kind of already knew who was going to get the cut? Like dates after a certain point don't really make a difference. He didn't need to, you know, have that date in London with them to sort of know. Okay, well, you two are leaving.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's like, can we just keep up the pretenses a little bit?
Yeah. And I am glad that it looks like, you know, I'm sure they would have had, you know, wherever their next destination is, they would have planned out who's getting those one-on-ones. It looks like Charity is going to get that. So it's not like they just totally passed her over like, well, you missed your London one.
Yeah.
Or tried to make her do a virtual. Can you imagine doing like a Zoom date?
I would be, and I mean this, livid. I would be so angry. I'd be like, okay, I'll take the computer. I'm going around London. I'm going to take you on a date. Like, let's just have this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. That article mentions that Charity and the other girls were all surprised that Charity got the first one-on-one date in their next location. And the producers were like, yeah. And the producers were like, obviously she's getting this.
She never got her date.
Yeah.
She got a souvenir and got to be the first one to speak to him. I don't think that's a good consolation.
No, it's terrible. I'd be so angry. Like, I could not be more mad if that were me.
I would have been like, give me everything Gabby got on her date. Like, just, you know, copy paste, duplicate.
Yeah, I'd be like, where are the corgis? I want to see, I need to see the corgis. I don't care about anything else except the corgis.
Also, with COVID testing, there's rapid tests. They had to have known, unless they just thought like, oh yeah, he's just jet lagged, but they have to be like testing them every day anyway, right? So
they are, but like I will give them, like when I had COVID, my test didn't appear, like my positive didn't appear until 3 days after.
True.
Okay. Like my symptoms started, but Ethan's was positive before his symptoms even started.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. It's not very predictable in that sense. So it could be negative, but it's like, well, you're still like seem contagious. So, because when we first saw Zach, it was like, oh yeah, I'm just not feeling great. And they made it seem like, okay, but maybe he can make it to the cocktail party. So I guess if they thought it was just like something he needed to power through, and they were like, well, we're going to test one more time. But
yeah, they tested a bunch of times just to like, because sometimes you get a false positive or whatever, but like he also wasn't feeling good. If you're not feeling good and you get a positive test, like come on.
Yeah.
Let's just call it for what it is, and that's COVID.
Totally. So there was one date, as you mentioned, the corgis. There was one date we got to see. they really drew this one out. I think we saw a lot more of this date than we would have, but luckily it was a really fun date to see. Mm-hmm. And so the date card said something like, "You are my queen," or "I'll treat you like a queen," something like that. This did set off Greer right away. Just basically anyone who hasn't gotten a one-on-one at this point is going to be upset, but there's only so many one-on-ones to go around. This is the first one.
Is it just for me, like recency bias, or do the girls seem more mad this year than any other year that they haven't gotten a one-on-one yet?
Yeah, definitely mad seems to be like the sentence too. Usually it's more like, "I'm really disappointed," but there's like this anger behind it. And Greer especially seemed to think like this date was made for her. Did we know at any point that she was so into tea?
What a ridiculous speech that was. Like, it felt like I think she's 24. It felt like a 24-year-old talking. Like, it was genuinely, and I get it. Like, you're in a pressure cooker. Like, everything's going to set you off a little bit. She's already upset. But it's just like crazy to me to be like, "He knows how much I love tea." It's like, babes, there's 20 other girls. He does not care that you like tea. No one cares that you like tea. No one.
No. Also, she brought a cup of coffee night one. So if this tea is your brand, like, start that out at the beginning, because yeah. I'm confused now. So, yeah. I mean, she has it tattooed, like a tiny little, might as well be a sticker.
I think she got that tattoo when she was like 16 too, because it seems like the lines have, faded a little bit.
Yeah. Almost look like that kind that, you know, maybe like an amateur, you know,
like your friend did.
They're drawing it on and they're like, "Yeah, let's make this permanent." But, and like, "I'm just going to test out with something really little. And I love tea." So, yeah, I wish they had shown the conversation where she was telling him how much she loved tea, so that this could have been like a through line. But also, I don't think like the princess date is really like, it didn't seem like to me where it said like, "You'll be the queen." They didn't really have high tea. I feel like the producers just threw in like a little bit of tea in there so that Greer would get more upset. Like, that wasn't the basis of, like, they didn't stop somewhere to go have tea.
Yeah, there was like no cucumber sandwiches that I saw.
No. So I thought it would have been good if they really like threw that in there. Like, "Okay, let's just book a high tea somewhere."
Yeah.
Just make sure this happens. But yeah, Gabby got to do a lot of different things on this queen theme date. I think I know what your favorite was.
Yes.
So I don't remember the order exactly, but I think, was it the perfume stop first?
Yes.
Okay. Would you have enjoyed something like this?
I get a little, I'm very sensitive to living. And so I have a very good sense of smell. So something like this where I just have to constantly smell would give me a headache.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd have a migraine for the rest of the day. And I'd be miserable.
You'd go with like, "Okay, first smell. Yep, let's just go with this one. This is perfect. Yeah. This is my signature scent. Let's go."
Yeah.
Let's,
and I tend to like go with my gut a lot and be like, "Okay, yep, that's it. I'm going to be happy with that. Like, let's just live our lives."
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't call it Zaddy or whatever they called it. What's her name again? Maddie? Gabby.
Zabby. Zaddy would have been kind of funny though.
But that would have been funny. She should consider changing her name for that.
Right. What were you thinking of their chemistry on this date?
I'm finding her weird. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what it is about her that I'm just not totally gravitating towards.
Uh-huh.
And like, he seems into her, and I think she's like into the idea of him. But maybe not necessarily into him.
Yeah.
I think he's a little too weird for her.
Yeah, they seem like maybe quirky in different ways. Like, it doesn't quite line up. I wasn't like feeling like the total like explosive chemistry. Like, I didn't feel like he was gravitating to her like he was with Kat on the yacht. But I think he finds her really funny and obviously attractive. But Yeah, I felt like it was a little bit awkward at times.
Very. But he was really into it, which is, you know, great for him. But it was weird for me.
Yeah. They do a, like, try on these fancy dresses. I think we got to see three different ones. Didn't seem like it was a store so much as just like they had, like, maybe a designer had set these aside or a stylist had set these aside.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like for sure. Which is maybe a good thing in that he was out in public less.
True. Yeah. Where they did run into like the perfume guy, a lot of different people, maybe the corgis, like they, he had a lot of different interactions. Even when he just gets to London, he says like, I've even checked out a few pubs. So he did have separate interactions, or at least so he says. So maybe they're a little loosey goosey there.
Yeah, I'm concerned now.
London. Was that blue dress your favorite of the ones that we were shown?
It was by far. Like I very much love that cornflower blue. Like I think that's a really stunning color. I love a deep neckline. I think that's super flattering on so many people. And I also really hated the other two options.
Oh, really? See, I liked the gold sequiny one.
I thought she
looked really stunning in that.
Yeah, she would look great. I just didn't. I don't know. I like a lot of color. And I thought that it like was too matchy-matchy with her skin tone, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Different, totally different style. And then she made a comment about how she just loves seeing his reaction to her because she couldn't see what she looked like. So kind of similar to the women coming in for the virtual cocktail party where they couldn't see, like, do I look okay on the Zoom? She, like, obviously these dresses were, like, perfectly tailored to her.
Yeah.
But still, you never know. Like, maybe, like, something's not, like, wrinkled or not fitting quite right. So I thought that was a pretty cute moment, although I still would have wanted a mirror to be able to make the final say in what dress I got.
Absolutely. I would. I'd be like, nope, I know what looks good on me and what doesn't. Please just give me the mirror.
Yeah. Now, did they do the corgis before she headed back to the house? Okay.
Yeah,
so she did all those kind of like daytime things. Yes. And he was the butler for the queen. And now seems like he was the butler for Charles as well, but now is just chilling.
Yeah, like maybe he got like cleared out when they switched over the to the new, just,
new palace. Available for them to meet the corgis that are part of the royal bloodline and just have a play date.
What a downgrade on a career, by the way. Like going from the queen to the bachelor. The corgis, do you actually believe they're part of the royal bloodline? I mean, like, what does it even matter? They're dogs.
Yeah. I mean, the bloodline could be very, you know, far removed and you could still say, oh, yes, this is part of the bloodline, you know, right? Second, third cousins.
Fun fact, to be in line for the throne, you have to be a relative of Sophia of Hanover, which is a long, you know, rest in peace, Sophia. But you have to have bloodline with Sophia of Hanover to be considered for the throne.
Wow.
Yeah, that's your fun fact for the day. don't try and corroborate it. Please don't tell me if it's wrong. What fun would that be?
Right.
So what fun would it be if like the facts I give you that I learn while I'm trying to fall asleep and I just watch TV, if they were wrong or not? Like what fun would that be?
Yeah. Doesn't matter. But this is only the first half, but does this date take your number one spot for one-on-one dates on The Bachelor?
Like this specific date or like the Pretty Woman date?
The specific one with the corgis.
I mean, I would have to say the corgi aspect, yes. I don't know if I want to try clothes on for a strange man.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also have a question about this Pretty Woman aspect, because usually what it is, it's a shopping spree and they're picking out kind of what they like. But I feel like lately, did Susie get this on Clayton season where they just kind of get a couple things, but then Gabby was just emptying all these bags and it didn't seem like she even knew what was in them. She was like, oh, this is cute. We didn't see her shopping for any of this stuff aside from the perfume. So was it cut or did they just say like, here. Here's some other freebies.
It's shocking that they would have any content to cut from this episode. It really seemed like we saw all of it.
Right. So who bought these items? And, you know, it just seemed like to create that moment of her walking in with all the bags.
That was just cruel.
Yeah.
For
they always do it.
Her or for, and for the girl. It's like, it was just not, it was cruel.
Right. They're all in their, I mean, you said they have roommates, but they're all in like separate rooms. They didn't need her to like come back even really. Like she could have changed into that outfit at the place where they were and just gone to the second portion. But to like make the women be sitting around, like they're probably thinking, waiting for their date card or something. And it's like, no, it's Gabby coming in.
Yeah, we were almost through everything. Connection. Like it was, I worried for her health at that moment.
Yeah. I do think it's funny when, I think we saw this with Ashley I on Chris Soul's season when Jade got the princess date and was
God.
Like, this was so me. Like, I want to be a Disney princess. This should have gone to me and have a meltdown. Like, everybody wants that date. Like, if you're there, you want the free stuff. You want the, you know, Jimmy Choo's or whatever they get.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, you're the only one that this would be a great date for. So,
great point.
Yeah. Amateur move to just sort of get so upset over that because it just makes it seem materialistic. You just have to kind of non-react or just be happy for that person, even if you're fake happy.
Yeah, you can see the jealousy at home.
Yes. What about the moment of her retreating to the hallway and ends up being right in front of Gabby's room, like the awkward, like, oh, I gotta go over here.
Like, you could not plan something more awkward. Like, that's the only thing I don't think had producer hand on it, because like nobody would believe that otherwise.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like a place they would tell her to go. It's like not a good shot. Like, it's dark, so it seems like they're like, I'll go over here and cry. Like, yeah, so that was good. But yeah, she changes into her new dress. The blue one that she tried on is delivered. She changes into that. They meet back up for the dinner. And were you surprised to see what I would consider a recognizable band playing?
Not one of their songs. Not one of their recognizable songs.
Right. A cover.
Yeah. I genuinely went, oh, UB40? And Ethan was like, what? And I was like, Red Red Wine, your favorite song, Ethan. He was like, oh, yes.
I was impressed. Bigger names when they go abroad, because didn't they have like the Lady in Red one time?
That was in LA, but they did have the Cranberries one time, Cranberries. Which I felt like was the biggest get the Bachelor has ever had.
Yes. So every once in a while we recognize who they have. But yeah, they had their little talk. She gets the rose. They had their little romantic, like her talking about how he makes her feel safe and scene has become like kind of, I think Michelle Young started that. Same. But
I liked it when she did it, but I'm just over.
Yeah. Like it was new with Michelle, but now it's just like, this is the new thing.
And it was different because she was the lead, but now Greer is like, I feel like I'm not seen. And it's like, well, maybe try not being annoying, like consider it.
Exactly. So and she talked about a little bit about having body image issues and, you know, that moment was really special for her of just how he noticed her and liked her, you know, validated her like for how she looked without like her like seeing in a mirror, and she could just sense that from him. So it wasn't like a really like huge story, but I felt like they connected a little bit on that. I'm kind of surprised we didn't hear. I think we had heard him talk about body image issues before, having lost a bunch of weight at some point. So I'm kind of surprised. Maybe they're just not making that part of his story now that he's the lead.
I'm wondering if they realize it's pretty gauche to like be like, well, I felt worthless and now I'm thin and I'm worthy of love now. Like they know that that's like not chill anymore. And especially since like the Roses for Everybody campaign is like on them. So it's, you know.
Yeah. If he is bringing it up, they're not showing it. Because, I remember he brought it up on Rachel's season. It's kind of like, okay, but the message there. It's like, yeah. Anything else about this date with Gabby that you wanted to point out?
I don't think so.
Before it all went down.
Yeah, I felt, you know what? Now that we're like thinking, you kind of brought it up. you are right. It was pretty drawn out. And I guess that's just, I didn't really get that when I was watching it, although I was like, oh my God, we are 40 minutes in and we are still doing this, eh?
Right, because what would we get, like 10 minutes of a date normally?
Yeah. So it did feel like a lot, but I don't know.
Yeah.
They had to, I guess. Like,
right. Like, we're showing everything we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into this interesting COVID-impacted group date in London. Okay, so we see the group date card arrive. So it's Brooklyn, Kat, Allie, Katie, Arielle, Kylie, Jess, Mercedes, and Greer gets the last name read. Oh,
Savage. Savage yes. Are the producers to do that.
Yes. I don't know that they said, at least, or I didn't write it down, what it actually said on the invite, but they seemed to figure out that they were going to go on a double-decker bus at some point. So we see Zach speaking about feeling jet-lagged and just that he's not going to be able to make it. And so the women are all excited, getting ready, and they have it wasn't Jesse, it was like a butler or somebody come tell them, right?
Oh, good point. I forgot about that.
So the fact that Jesse couldn't even come in, but yeah, I think they had a couple different times where like a different like British person would deliver a message, and then it just became like, okay, we know this is bad news.
A different British person here to deliver the message.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of extras hired here. So maybe Jesse was being isolated for a bit too, just
maybe
out of safety.
That's possible.
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt on that. But it's kind of par for the course. We'd see that with Chris Harrison, where you're like, couldn't Chris Harrison have done this? Like, what was he doing?
Yeah, maybe Jesse had a golf reservation.
Right. So they kind of get the message that he's not feeling well right then, but we're led to believe, or they're led to believe, that, you know, maybe he'll hopefully join them in the evening portion.
Which is crazy to me. Like, if I'm there and having even like an iota of sense, I'm like, well, they're still going to take COVID regulations pretty seriously. If he's not feeling well, I feel like they'll take at least the 24 hours to like,
yeah,
test him, isolate him, you know, follow up. Like, we're not seeing him that day. Like, that is just, we're not seeing him that day. And I'm going to go have fun in London. I don't know why, but I was so annoyed that they just like brought up Zach whenever they could, even like, I know it's, the show is about Zach, but I was, I was like, you're bringing up Zach to like this bartender. Like, what is he? It's like, she doesn't care. Like, just have fun. And they were so miserable. And it made me so mad.
Yeah. I hate that. Like, it reminds me of like when I was in like on like a study abroad trip or something, like an organized tour, and just having like three of us be like listening to what the tour guide said and everyone else being like, you know, I just want to like go somewhere else, and just like not respecting the person. I'm like, just enjoy it. Like, yeah, the weather's not great, so what else are you going to do? Just like sit on the bus, and
yeah,
you're lucky you
time.
Get to go somewhere. Like, I could have, I'm surprised they let them go on this date. So
absolutely, like 100%. How often do we see that? Like, didn't, what was it, I guess last season when Rachel was like cranky and didn't want to go on the date, didn't they make them basically just like turn around and go home?
Oh, true, I remember that. Yeah, she was just like not in the mood, and they just like, they had been like really excited to get off the cruise ship, and they were watching like some sort of chocolate wrestling, and then it was like, oh, I guess we don't get to do this. And they, yeah, had this big talk with her, like how they were really upset by that they like missed out on like the event. And so, yeah, you could kind of turn this around and be like, whoa, like, should, you know, you guys weren't all that upset. So maybe they were trying to make a point of like, we're so upset that Zach's not here. They're having too much fun or something. Because we see Zach get offended by things. Like, you're not
okay. Well, if he's getting offended by that, then I'm like, you're not my person. If like, I'm trying to make the best of a shite situation, and if you can't be happy for me in that, then I'm out. Actually, I'm not out. Keep me around until we go to Hungary. Yeah. But you know, you're not my dude.
Yeah, I did like Greer's approach in this instance where she did kind of have that turnaround, like, okay, I'm still going to have a fun time. I'm going to make the best of it. And I feel like it was maybe 50-50 on the people that were doing that on this date and others that were kind of dwelling. But I think that's what you have to do. Like, you're still, it's still a free trip. You're still going out. I mean, in my opinion, I probably would enjoy this group date the most because, like, I don't have to worry about swapping spit with everyone. I can just focus on having fun. I'm not that into the lead. So I think the people that were able to kind of have fun with it, my theory is, like, they're probably not that into sex anyway. They're just like, yeah, whatever. Date's a date. I could hang out with my girls.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
So they come back. They do get all ready for...
I'm wearing my worst outfit, by the way, for this. I'm like,
yeah,
I am not wasting something good on it because I can see the writing on the wall.
But I don't think any of them follow that. I think they looked all pretty good. So.
Yeah, well, they're just naturally pretty. I take a lot of effort.
So, yeah, I can see that it would make... someone extra annoyed if they like get all ready and then it's like, oh yeah, he's still not coming. At this point, Jesse does tell them that it's COVID and so it's not happening. But yeah, it's just upsetting that they would like have to sit through all that. Well, no, wait, there was still a butler that came. Somebody came and like delivered another message and they're like, oh, yeah, he's still not coming. It didn't say that it was COVID at that point. And then Jesse informs them.
Yeah, I'm getting confused at who like Butler was for what.
Yeah.
Because I also watched the season finale of the Challenge Bloodlines today. And in that, like a person comes up to take all of their measurements for suits so they can run the final in suits. So I was just thinking, I was like, okay, but when does the guy who measures them come up? At what point in the episode? I was like, wrong series,
wrong show.
8 years ago. All right, we're good.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm getting a little mixed up as if I know there was like a second person that delivered a note and you could see the on their faces that they're like, oh, great, another note. Like, we know what this is going to say. So it might have not been till the next. I know Jesse does come and tell them that he has COVID, but that might have been the next day where they, because they were all in kind of casual wear at that point.
Yeah, they're in their comfies.
Yeah, Jesse just wasn't on duty that day, I guess. So
his flight was delayed.
Oh, that could be,
or maybe he had like a football thing he had to like talk about or something.
Right. Yeah, because maybe he gets a little bit of like downtime in between.
Well, I'm also just like not totally believing they had a direct flight from the Bahamas to London.
Ah, yeah, he like, could have stayed in the Bahamas a little longer or something, or gone back to. He lives in, I think, Miami now or New York.
Okay, so that would be a good layover spot.
Yeah. Yep. So, he lets them know they are dressed casually at this point. And this is where Katie takes the opportunity. So he says that they will have a virtual cocktail party, but she does that move where usually we see like if they're not, the lead's not feeling well, someone might bring chicken soup and still hang out with them. Well, she couldn't really hang out with him, but she does like, you know, behind the door, and drops off some things for him, but has a whole conversation with him. And then they show flashbacks of like every single moment they've had on the show so far. I thought this was an odd choice.
It was an odd choice, not just in editing, not in her doing that. I thought that was a great move. 10 out of 10, would recommend.
Yeah.
But yeah, the flashback was very much let's fill time here.
Yeah, like remember this person, they had a connection.
Yeah.
So yeah, but definitely a smart move to pull some strings and get to do that. Were you surprised that they did any kind of virtual cocktail party or that it made it seem like Zach like wanted to make this happen? Cause it seems like normally the show like wants to kind of avoid any sort of like techie, like, cause it doesn't read well on screen.
Yeah. No, I am surprised they did it, but I am glad they did it. I don't think it did a lot for us as viewers, but I do think it was necessary for the process. And if I'm one of the ones getting cut this night and I didn't even get that like virtual one-on-one time, I would
be
pretty peeved.
Yeah. And I could see Zach. It seems like he isn't quite doing what the producers might want, like getting rid of Christina early. So I could see him saying like, well, what can we do? Like, I don't want to send someone home without like talking to them first, or so I could see something like that where he at least puts his opinion in and they figure out something out. But yeah, they figure out how to do this, and they sort of call them women in one by one, and they all have their own little spin on like picking up the iPad, talking to him. Most of the conversations go pretty well. They're a little awkward. Like maybe I think it was Kat that makes out with an orange or something.
I loved the dichotomy from going from Charity and Zach being like, I'm not going to kiss the screen because that's weird.
That'd be weird. And then
to going to the next person kissing the screen. And Zach is so embarrassed. He's like, well, they're going to air both things.
Yeah,
like,
definitely back to back. Yeah. So, yeah, everyone had their own little strategy going in. But definitely the award to most awkward mini date on Zoom went to Zach and Greer. I would love to hear your opinion. But so basically what happened is, Greer makes a comment when he's talking about like being frustrated about, you know, missing out on this stage of the process and not being with them and having COVID. And she says like, yeah, totally. Like I got COVID at the end of last year and it was like right at the end of the quarter and I'm in sales. And that was like really hard. Like I know how hard it is to like not meet a goal, have something impact that. And Zach really reacts strongly to this. Like, wait, I want to correct you, like that's not at all what this is. Like I'm in sales too and I'm looking to find my person, not meet a sales goal. And
it was awkward. It left me very uncomfortable. I will say I did find it pretty interesting, and I didn't mind seeing it because we never really see the lead like push back on what the people are saying. You know what I mean? Like It's very rare we see that. Like once in a while we will, but like not very often, and not very often that person stays after.
Right.
I think maybe Zach was having a little bit of the COVID crankies. Like he was tired. Like, you know, when you get COVID, you get really exhausted really quickly. Mm-hmm. I think he was cranky. And so he, you know, like, sure, what she said was a little like immature and a little like to, oh yeah, I know exactly how this feels. But I think she was just trying to relate and be like, hey, like, I've been there, bud, like it sucks and I'm so sorry. But I think he was a little too harsh about it. And I hope mm-hmm. he kind of apologizes for that later on, just being like, hey, that wasn't fair of me to react that way, like you were just trying to comfort me and I just didn't take it well and I'm sorry about that, because I do think he was in the wrong. But you know, it is kind of interesting to see the lead like not be like perfect and shiny and mm-hmm. good at being the bachelor all the time.
Right, it seemed like definitely an overreaction, really harsh to like, it just didn't seem like he was getting where she was coming from, and seemed to just like pinpoint and zoom in on that, like that she said sales and thinking like, oh, she's a salesperson, even though that's what he does too. So he should know maybe like where he works is a little different and it's not as big a deal, but maybe for her that was like a really big deal, like a make or break for her career, and was like, oh, this is when I get COVID, like that's horrible. And she was focusing on her career at that point. Like he could have maybe just framed it as a question, like, well, what did you mean by that? Or, you know, like, or I'm not viewing it exactly the same way. But I also thought it was weird that he honed in on when she like made a little joke, like, oh, like it's actually good, I can't see myself, I'd just be looking at that the whole time. And he made it seem like, oh, the whole time, like you're not gonna look at me. So,
but and like Katie made the same joke.
Yeah.
Or like then, a similar joke. And he's just like, LOL, like, you're so funny, Katie.
Or yeah, Caitlin, he was bringing it up to everyone.
I don't know which of the many cats it was, but.
Right. Yeah. So they all commented like, oh, it's weird, I can't see myself, like, how do I look, kind of thing. But for her, it was like, oh, the whole time, that's a little much. So it just seems like he's over Greer at this point. I don't really see where they went wrong, but I don't.
I think he see her just last like got annoyed by
week.
Her.
I didn't know that she was going to make it this week. Yeah, like if guys can get the ick, then he got the like.
Yes, exactly. He got the ick. That's exactly what happened. Like, because it's one of those things, like, you know, when somebody annoys you and then just the, every single thing they do, mm-hmm. even though that's not that annoying, annoys you. Like, that's exactly what happened here. He absolutely got the ick.
Right. And then the smart thing that of Greer is she didn't do what Bailey and Davia did. She didn't say like, hey, I feel like we've fallen behind or something like that. So he doesn't have something that he can just say like, oh, yep, you're right. Like, it's not where it was. And so she's still hanging in there.
Yeah, I'm really surprised she got a rose.
Mm-hmm. So they do a virtual rose ceremony. And this setup, they were able to cut it in a way that it didn't look too strange. The part that I thought was odd was that, like, the roses were just on a table. I thought maybe they could have had Jesse hand them out. You know, just give him something to do, like, on behalf, I'm handing these out on behalf of Zach. Maybe they don't want to make it look like, oh, like, they keep trying to, like, make us think, like, okay, he's 44. He's not a romantic interest of them. He's happily married. So maybe they didn't want to muddle those waters at all, but.
Oh, interesting.
I still thought that he could have done that. But otherwise, I thought, like, cutting between the women, him calling the names worked pretty seamlessly. What did you think?
Yeah, I did mind that part. Of course, I would say, yeah, the actual rose part was fine. What really made me like cringe was the girlies who didn't get a rose having to go up and like talk to a TV screen out loud.
That was weird. Where, in front like, of everyone.
You,
and
yeah, like, where usually public. You get like that tiny little moment of like, you get to whisper like, thanks, I hope that goes so well for you. But like, you have to stand in front of everyone and like in front of a TV and just make sure you're speaking loud enough so they can hear you. Mm-hmm. That was a waking nightmare for sure.
Do you think they could have done something like almost instead of the virtual party or maybe as part of the virtual cocktail party, like maybe that'd be too harsh, but kind of there, that's more one-on-one. So maybe like you'd have to say like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to give you a rose, like almost like a group date where everyone gets a rose except a couple people.
Yeah, I guess that would have made more sense. I also just wish there was no rose ceremony here. Like, I wish they just cut it
and just like, kept everybody.
Yeah, they just say, hey, let's just keep everyone for next week. Like, we'll just have a redo. It's not a big deal.
Or you know what they could have done? I mean, I know we thought this was harsh on Gabby and Rachel season, but you know that night one where they called like three guys away and like, okay, yeah, we're not doing a rose ceremony, but they already know there's not a connection. Could have done something like Jesse calling just these two women and saying, okay, like, or a letter or something like Zach just like doesn't feel strong enough to have you continue on.
Yeah.
But yeah, they didn't need to have that little like, good luck, like, thanks for the opportunity kind of conversation in front of everyone.
Yeah.
But it was Kylie and Mercedes anyway were the two that we could have predicted this.
Yes. And I also felt bad because we were getting confessionals from Kylie being like, I feel like we are in a great place. I'm so excited for where this is going. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, girly girl, you shouldn't be. And then she was cut. And then she was like, how could I not see it? It's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I know. Well, yeah. So did you pick up on anything for the coming weeks? It seemed like they did a like the rest of the season sort of preview. I didn't see a lot of Greer.
No. Yeah. I definitely took it in the moment. But now I don't remember anything except I know they're going to Hungary, which I'm excited about.
Yeah. I think I just picked up on like a few more people that we didn't really see prominently.
Oh, and we also got some footage from what looked to me like a Southeast Asian location, which is exciting.
Oh, okay. Because
we've only seen really kind of like Central European stuff in the preview, so I'm kind of excited about that. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get into our draft results and listener questions. All right, the listeners are still in first with 178 points their five picks made it through another week.
I can't believe it. They lost half their team after night one, and then not a single whiff of somebody going home.
Right. Yeah, none of these people I really see. Allie, I guess, is maybe their weakest one. We don't see her that much. Or Ariel.
Yeah, or even, like, I don't think Brooklyn is a long-term girl.
Okay, was Brooklyn in the preview where they made it seem like he was hooking up with her early or something? Like,
yes. Oh, good.
To the next
good
level.
Good call. Yes, that did seem like it was a thing.
Does that seem like a misdirect?
I mean, of course, everything seems. Yeah. I refuse to believe anything anymore.
Yeah, I just don't see, like, Zach just strikes me as like playing by the rules. So I'd like the rules being like, wait till fantasy suites.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Yeah. So I was hoping to gain a little more traction with Gabby being the only person to get a one-on-one, but I guess technically the women did get a group date, right? So they're still getting those points. Amy's in second with 154, getting Gabby's one-on-one, but losing Mercedes down to three left. Haley is, oh no, Haley.
Third with 112. I'm done. I am done for.
Losing Kylie, leaving only Greer on her team. Oh no, this is not a good week for Greer.
Mm-mm.
Yes. All right. Well, follow at George CTV to keep up with these draft results. I'm laughing because I see a comment, somebody commenting on this draft result. The secondhand embarrassment I feel for Lekka every time I'm reminded of her choice in limo entrance. Oh. So someone keeping Lekka's night one name alive here. All right. So yes, that's a rough one. I'm excited to see what the questions are this week, because that's our chance to get a little movement here. So from George, hi, Amy and Haley, rank your excitement level for the one-on-one date. Design a perfume, go clothes shopping, attend a fancy tea with dogs. And if the Royal Guard had a first impression rose, which of the group date women do you think he would have given it to? Okay. Excitement level for each of those things. Should we do a ding, marry, kill? Design a perfume,
yeah, I think
go
so.
Clothes shopping, attend a fancy tea with dogs.
I think I have to go marry, attend a fancy tea with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Ding, clothes shopping, kill, design a perfume.
Yeah, definitely. And then, yeah, we forgot to mention.
I didn't forget to mention. I chose not to mention.
Chose not to. Yeah. Okay.
Because I find this so embarrassing for everyone involved.
Yes. Or they all tried to. I feel like Mercedes twerking like got the most reaction. But yeah, that was cringy.
I also don't feel like this was a real one.
Yeah.
Like what building was this guy?
Yeah. We didn't really get the wide shot, did we?
No, it just seemed like he was outside of like an apartment building and not like the Royal Tower or not the London Tower, or like Buckingham Palace or anything like that. I don't think this guy was a real one.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think production asked Jesse to hand out the roses on behalf of Zach and he declined? And why was Gabby at the rose ceremony? Wouldn't it have been a good idea to just let her sit that one out just as a precaution? Okay, so George thinking along the same lines as me, maybe he declined.
Oh, interesting. I don't know. Yeah, that one's hard. Sorry, I don't have an answer for that.
I could actually
I don't have one.
I could see the host being like, no, like I'm not the bachelor. I'm the host, you know, especially like Jesse trying to maybe prove himself. I could see him being like, yeah, that's not my role anymore. And then questions for the week. Based on Google Maps, what distance from London will Zach's next stop be on his journey for love? A, 500 miles or less. B, 500 to 1,000 miles. C, 1,000 to 2,000. Or D, over 2,000 miles.
Give me a moment. I have to do some conversion because
okay,
I'm all in like kilometers.
I'm going to go with A. I'm going to guess that the next one will be like a short distance. Just like once they're in Europe, it's like pretty easy to go kind of short distance somewhere else that seems totally different.
I'm going to go, well, this one's tough. Oof. Well, because, okay, so if I am, okay, so the question is there a place they're going between going to London and Budapest? Because Budapest is 1,079 miles.
Oh, wow.
So it's
so
like,
that's
okay,
like right on the
yeah, so it's like, do I think they're going to Budapest next or not? Okay, I'm going to go B, 500 to 1,000.
Okay, and maybe George will be generous with that rounding down.
Oh my God, no, he won't. He'll be like, hey, like, it's no points.
Yeah, it was odd that they didn't really do like that. Like, couldn't he do a virtual toast? Like, now we're going, our next destination is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like, I wonder if they're going to go to Prague. Like, nothing has led me to believe that, but yeah. Geographically, it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 790 miles. So, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking, let's go somewhere in Central Europe. But, mm-hmm. you know, anyway.
Two, an interview stated Charity will get the next one-on-one date. Who will get the second one-on-one next week? A, there isn't a second one-on-one. B, Greer. C, someone who hasn't had a one-on-one yet. Besides Greer, Jess, Ariel, Allie, and D, someone who already had a one-on-one, Gabby, Brooklyn, Katie, or Kat.
I think it will be C, someone who hasn't had a one-on-one yet, but not Greer.
Right. I'm going to say C as well. Although Allie did have a one-on-one, it was just not memorable, George. So it would have to be Jess or Ariel. I think it's going to be Ariel because I did see them making out.
Well, and I think we got a clip of Jess being like sad she still hasn't got a one-on-one yet.
Oh, yes. And then he said something like, it's not about that. It's like,
about that. Oh, Zach's getting testy with everyone who's like pressuring him a little bit. Like, All right, Zach. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and just say, I think it's Ariel who gets the date next week.
Yeah. I feel like they're keeping Greer around just to really mess with her at this point.
Yeah.
And just like not give it to her at all. Three, until this week, Zach has been shown kissing a minimum of 7 women each week. How many will we see him kiss after being sick? A, 0, B, 1, C, 2, D, 3, or more? Oh, interesting question. Will they minimize showing us this?
No, Zach is still going to kiss lips with quite a few people, 3 or more.
Okay. Yeah, with everyone that he's already like made out with, I feel like he will continue. If he has 2 one-on-ones, like he's going to make out with Charity. He'll find a way. So yeah, give me 3 or more. 4. We start next week with 9 women. What's the result of the episode? A, to be continued, /9 remain. B, 8 remain. C, 7 remain. D, 6 or fewer remain.
Okay, so let's think about it. How many weeks is the season usually? 10? Or is that too many?
That's a good question.
So
I don't know.
Let's say it's usually 10. We're on week 5.
Mm-hmm.
So next week would be week 6. And then going into... So hometowns is usually about week 8. Okay, I'm not good at math. Okay, I'm failing. Okay, so 6, we're going to go down to... Yeah, I think we're going... Oh, 9 women. I think we're going down... I think we're going down to 6,
mm-hmm.
but let me say 7 as a buffer for myself. Okay, let me say 7.
That's where I was going to go as well. I feel like 2 will go. If I had to guess who it was, I'd probably say Greer and Jess or Allie, maybe.
Mm.
But I don't see... I could also see just 1 going and like that...
And then, like, having an even number. And then we're getting, like, then we're clipping 2 for the rest.
Right. But, yeah, I was drawn to 7 as well, so I'm going to go with that. And then 5, let's go long term. At this point, who gets Zach's final rose?
Who you tell me.
I think Kat.
And I think Katie.
Okay. Something with a K.
Well, I was either like Kat or Katie. And I think after this week, so with like the gift and the weird flashback, which we haven't seen with many other people.
I thought that was like too much. A red herring.
Well, then I'm very gullible.
Well, no, like, but then it was like with Kat's date too. I was like, this is too over the top. Like, this is, they're too heavy handed with this. So I don't know. Yeah. I think it has to be someone that he's already had the one-on-one with.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. other questions. We have from Christine. This week's virtual time with Greer was hard to watch. I think Zach was really tough on her. He definitely didn't need to call her out like that when she clearly didn't mean anything offensive by talking about her bout with COVID. I felt like it was especially delicate since they were not in person and body language couldn't be interpreted. I sensed a bit of controlling nature on Zach's part. Did anyone else feel like he overreacted? Even if he felt that way, I don't think he needed to go out of his way to make her feel small or less by sharing her experience.
Yeah, I would, like we said, I definitely think he overreacted. I don't necessarily in this moment feel like he's controlling. I just feel like he was being sensey.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that he kind of doubled down on it, like once she apologized, he still was like, yeah, because this is, you know, I'm trying to find my person. Like, he just made it like seem like to the point where she felt so bad about it.
Yeah, I think he was just being a little cranky.
Mm-hmm. And then Anna Waldzinka says, thoughts on the Greer plus Zach Zoom cocktail party convo. Seems like people are pretty split on how harsh Zach's reaction was.
See, I feel like people are not split. I feel like everyone I've seen is on Greer's side. Like, I even had, give me one second.
I think if there people aren't, I think it's maybe more like knowing what we know about Greer's Twitter posts, you know, like it's more that like people aren't like huge fans of her and maybe that's influencing it a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, that's fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely thought it was too much, and I don't think she definitely didn't mean anything bad
of course
by
not.
It, but Lisa Canner, anyone else find it odd that they are leaving out the fact that Greer and Gabby were in the same sorority in college, and Gabby was Greer's big sister, and that they are super close? I mean, if Greer was that upset, it seems more personally directed at Gabby and not so much about the fact that she didn't get the one-on-one. Why can't this show just fess up to these things? Okay, I had no idea.
I didn't either. So I said to Lisa, I was like, what? Let me find it. Give me one second.
Because, you know, we saw on Colton's season that Kaylin and Hannah Brown knew each other and it became a storyline. It just seems like, why wouldn't you bring that up?
Yeah. And then I think Lisa is correct that it makes sense that she's like more mad that her friend got it. And like, she's jealous of her friend. Like, you know what I mean? That makes way more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's like, well, Gabby doesn't even like tea.
Right. Yeah. Or is it something that like in the show, they're not like divulging that?
I don't know.
Would they meet like off camera and be like, oh, like, I didn't know you're going to be here. Like, let's not bring that up.
I doubt it because I just feel like you'd be like, oh, what school did you go to? Oh, you guys went to the same school. How crazy. And for them to just be like, yeah, so crazy. Right. Like, I just feel like neither of them would really be able to pull that off.
Well, yeah. And even in casting, they should like question it. Like, hey, do you guys know each other? Or find out, because you know, going to the same university, yeah, it can be a really big university, but you know, I feel like they probably ask about sororities as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Susie Ann, why did they show us so many stupid FaceTime conversations when there were opportunities to show us more corgis?
Also, there was opportunity for them to show us less show.
Yes.
Although exactly. I did love the corgis. Very thrilled with that.
Yes. Kyle Picard, could you imagine being sent home at a virtual rose ceremony?
I know. I would, if I saw the writing on the wall, I would walk out. I'd be like, no, I've got a quarantine, so I'm not going to attend that rose ceremony. So don't even worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, we did hear Greer say something like she was kind of at the point, like wondering if she should just leave before the rose ceremony. That would have been maybe kind of smart if you saw the writing on the wall. Like to just be like, yeah, I'm just going to send myself out.
It's deeply embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Ashley Stahl. Oh, this is good because I had wanted to ask you this. So what beverage is so important to you that you would have it tattooed on your body?
I think it's obvious that I would get the Haley Strong Holy Trinity, which is water, a full fat dark pop, and a glass of white wine.
Wait, what was the second one?
a full fat dark pop.
What's that?
Like a, preferably a Coke, or a Dr. Pepper, or
what's full fat?
I don't want a Diet Coke.
Oh, okay. I was like,
I don't want Coke really Zero. I want full sugar, full calories, full caffeine.
Nice. Yeah.
You don't. No. No diet. No zero for me.
Yes. You are the beverage goblin. That's a meme that's going on the viral video.
I had it. Yeah. So there was a TikTok that appeared in my feed of the beverage goblin of like always having lots of beverages. And I truly had at least 5 people send this to me. Be like, this is you. I'm like, yes, it is.
It's so funny because I just go in phases, so it would be so hard for me to commit to a tattoo that would be like so important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because like for a while it would have been like chai or something. Like I just love like a Starbucks chai, but that like now I'd be like, no, that's like that's chewy or whatever.
Yeah, I don't have any tattoos because I am a commitment phobe.
Mm-hmm, same.
I would love a full sleeve, but I'm not cool enough to pull it off. And I just want a full sleeve of snacks and flowers, like my favorite snacks, flowers, my favorite flowers. I want flowers and snacks.
That's maybe so even funny because I feel the same way. I'm like, I love how it looks like the sleeve with like pretty flowers. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, oh, that's like my style, but I could never do it. I just couldn't. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Because then I'd be like, maybe in a 10 years I wouldn't like that. So and yeah just having one would make it feel almost more like that's a choice.
Yeah, well yeah, I'm like I'm very much considering a very dainty tattoo of my wedding bouquet.
Oh, that's cool.
But then like where would I put it, because if I just got one tattoo, like I feel like it would be out of place everywhere on my body. I don't know.
I do like that idea though. And then Katie Sheely, would you rather have tea or a shopping spree?
I do love goods, but I also love snacks. So this is very tough for me.
Yeah. I think we have to assume that it's like a high tea where they have the little sandwiches and pastries.
I think I have to go shopping spree because when else am I going to get a shopping spree? I can have high tea other places.
True. I think to get the free stuff is good.
I love free stuff.
I think for the date, like Gabby and Zach's date was good in the sense that they really got to interact. We didn't see her actually doing the shopping part. It was just trying on a couple things. But I know in past seasons we've seen it where it's like remember Rachel and Matt had that kind of date. And we didn't get to see a lot of their connection because it was just like, oh, I like this. Oh, you look great. I like this. So I don't think it like lends itself that well. I mean, obviously they worked out, but it doesn't lend itself that well on the show to like kind of show off your connection. But I think just for the take home goods, you don't know that you're going to end up with the lead or become the next lead. So take the free stuff. This is another question I had as well. So I'm glad Justin Feinberg's bringing this up. Has anyone from London ever called London a city of romance or the perfect place to fall in love? It did seem like they were describing other cities where it was like, this is the city of romance.
Sure. I can agree with you there. However, I am somebody who looks to the movie Notting Hill as pinnacle romance. Okay. I demanded I take when we went to London that I got to go to the Notting Hill area and see the door because that is pinnacle of romance. Mm-hmm. I almost exclusively read romance novels, preferably set in London or surrounding English areas. So is London the city of romance? No. Is it the perfect place to fall in love in all of the novels I have read? Yes, absolutely it is.
All right, I like that spin. And then Sarah Noor, maybe I should already know the answer to this, but do the leads have any knowledge or prior say on the international travel?
Here's my guess. They get to throw out some places and be like, hey, I would be I feel like they don't have super a lot of say in that because I think a lot of it is sponsorship deals that they kind of need to go with.
Yeah, and maybe prearranged kind of early on. Like maybe they've been talking to them for like a year.
And like, yeah, or maybe they get like
for the next season.
Yeah, or maybe they get like 5 choices and
they get like three options.
Yeah.
You know, they get like, okay, you can pick these three. But it's like Gabby and Rachel, like, do you think they're picking Brussels? Do you think they're locating Brussels on a map?
Or a cruise ship. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not picking a cruise ship. Like, it's fine. I do think they are probably getting an itinerary of where they're going beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would almost think that, like, Jesse Palmer or, like, producers have more of a say, like, oh, like, this would be cool. We've never get, like, maybe thinking of places that they haven't gone before. But, you know, I'm sure they ask the lead, like, they kind of know where they've been before or what has meaning to them or what, where they want to go. They could maybe incorporate it, but considering they sometimes cast a lead kind of last minute, I think the travel's already in place.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And everywhere is really like, you can't really complain when you're being on.
I will not complain. No, yeah. Like, unless I'm going to Cleveland. Actually, I'm not complaining. I enjoy Cleveland. I like Cleveland.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, yeah, great questions. That was fun. Did you get any takes from Doug this episode?
I did. Let me just open up my little telephone here. Wow, my phone today told me I was like out of storage, and I was shocked. I didn't think I could be out of storage on this phone, but I am allegedly. Give me one moment. Oh, okay, here we go. I'm always baffled by the show's ability to get contestants to say Blank City is known to be the most romantic. Do you think the show charges the city's tourist board to get the statement read on a sliding scale in relation to its accuracy? Yeah, that could be possible.
Hmm.
I do think it's just like, hey, we'll comp your trip here. These are the talking points you have to hit. Although mm-hmm. I don't think Tourism London A needs help, B would go with like the most romantic city. Like, I don't think that's their slogan, but who knows.
Mm-hmm.
Who is more of a hero, the royal smell man for putting up with these brash Americans for the afternoon, or me for battling through a devastating case of the hiccups to continue watching this episode?
Oh, that's not fun.
Do you want to know what one of my biggest fears is? It's getting the hiccups and never getting rid of them.
Oh, no.
That's like my greatest fear.
Did you see that? Was that on like a medical show? Because I feel like I saw that on Grey's Anatomy or something.
Yeah. I should. Like, there's so many shows I should not have been watching as a child. That was one of them. Would you prefer to go on this show and pretend to like the lead in order to play with the corgis, or to get the dream date of getting to hang out in a foreign destination without having to interact with the lead? Oh, that's a great question. Ooh. Oh God, I would love to hang out with the corgis, but I also would love to not have to talk to anyone.
Right.
And like pretend that I like them or that they like me.
I know. See, that definitely appeals to me.
Imagine for a moment that you're a British actor. Would you rather portray the role of affable royal smell producer or a foul mouth bartender?
Ooh.
Definitely bartender, right? That sounded like a fun role.
Yeah, and she had the fun part at the end, like where she was saying, can I steal you for a sec?
Yeah, I liked her American accent.
Mm-hmm.
I continue to enjoy the rational decisions of the season. I feel like it offers an initial template for what a dating show could look like on PBS. They could bring in Rick Steves for hometowns and have the Sesame Street characters talk to the contestants about their mistakes. I do love Rick Steves. Anyway, that's it from Doug. That's it from me.
All right. Well, where can people find you, Haley?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. And if you want to check out all of the romantic novels set in London I'm reading, you can check out my Bookstagram at The Strong Library.
Yeah, and I saw that Rachel Lindsay's book is out. So that's a rom-com too, right?
I'll have to add that to my list.
And you can find me on Twitter at @RHAP Recapper. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Till next time. Bye.
Bye.